The economy was actually called the covenant of grace. and consequently the covenant of grace was put back into the relationships of the covenant of the Godhead to one another. Now you see, I haven't used the word covenant at all. Why? Because I think that's a misapplication of the biblical term. I don't believe that anyone ever in the Bible to construe the relations of the persons of the Godhead to one another in the planning or in the execution of salvation. A covenantal. I say that again. I don't believe there's any warrant in the Bible for construing the relations of the persons of the Godhead to one another in the economy of salvation as covenantal in terms of what the Bible means by covenant, namely the Greek and the Hebrew and the Apache in the Greek. It is perfectly true that there are engagements. There are undertakings, there are commitments. But it is, from the standpoint of biblical theology, misleading to apply the term covenant, or the term covenantal, to these intertrinitarian arrangements, undertakings, commitments, promises. What I'm jealous for here is simply that the term covenant, Hebrew and Greek forms, should be given strictly biblical, theological connotation, definition. That's why I have refrained on the use of the term covenant in connection with this intertrinitarian covenant. It is not only true that Christ was given the covenant of the people. This is the one. Is that a moment that has to do with his relationship to the people? And this is a little more than the biblical notion of covenant. Now we come to the covenant of grace. The next topic. Covenant of grace that distinguishes from the intertrinitarian economy of salvation. Now, by that title, I shall go to be mild. Because there isn't just one covenant of grace in the history of Revelation, when God dispensations to man. Consequently, I should prepare to call it covenant of grace. Nevertheless, we are sort of required to adopt certain titles because of the history that lies back of theological discussion, and you may call the topic for convenience purposes the covenant of grace. Now what I'm going to deal with here very, very briefly is the biblical notion of covenant. I believe
the heathen term. What kind of means sovereign administration of grace. Sovereign administration of grace. Divinely conceived. Revealed. Confirmed. And executed. Sovereign administration of grace, divinely conceived, revealed, confirmed, and executed. Note some other features of that Greek definition, which is a dispensation of grace. And therefore, an instrument through which God reveals and imparts His grace to man. It is a sovereign administration. A sovereign administration. It is a unilateral administration. Man is simply the recipient. And covenant is not a contract or an agreement or accommodation. It is something bestowed by God. And man becomes the beneficiary of its provisions. He becomes subject to its terms. And upon him devolves any obligations which arise from the benefit received. A covenant is also confirmed by God. And the security rests upon the divine faithfulness. The covenant is really the confirmation of the promise. And that therefore very much the same purpose as an oath. You may have a promise without an oath. You may have a promise without a covenant. Covenant is the confirmation of promise. And really amounts to the oath-bound certification which God provides once for
fulfillment of his promise. Furthermore, and finally, covenant is an administration, and therefore an administration to man. And the usage of Scripture is always designated. What falls within the historical? And it is always a gracious provision, a gracious provision. Contemplates either preservation or salvation. Also, covenant in the usage of Scripture always refers to temporal administration. It is nevertheless closely related to what underlies the temporal life, namely the eternal counsel of God. Our covenant disclosures and administrations to men flow from the inter-Trinitarian economy. And when the inter-Trinitarian economy becomes actual in temporal history, the provisions of that economy take on covenantal character. God in executing is saving counsel. And so, through covenantal administration, that is why Christ is represented in the prophecy of Isaiah, for example, as given for covenant of the people. Covenant of the people. We see is given as a covenant of the people. The record. No. But it is in the dispensation of grace, in the temporal, historical dispensation of grace, that he is a covenant.
he is a canvas of the spirit. He is the covenant of the people because he embodies in himself all the covenant grace involved. Embodiment of all the covenant grace involved, he is at the center of its manifestation and realization. Now that's very, very brief. That's the summary of what would take the whole semester. He's on the establishment. Now I come to the next topic. The unity of the covenant. Unity. Now that's often called the unity of the covenant of grace, and that's all that's known as you bear in mind. But in the history of Revelation, there isn't just one covenant of grace. There's a whole series of covenants. The covenants of Scripture, that is, of course, when we're talking about covenants of men, covenants of men with God and so forth. Also, I'm talking about God covenanting with men, or God covenant with those men. There are these: the pre-Diluvian Noahic covenant, the post-Diluvian Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant. The pre-Diluvian Noahic covenant, Genesis 6:18, made with Noah before he entered into the ark, and in terms of which he entered into the ark. The pre-Diluvian Noahic covenant. And then the post-Diluvian Noahic covenant, Genesis 9:9-17. Then you have the Abrahamic covenant. Really, the Abrahamic covenant. For convenience, we speak of it as the Abrahamic covenant, but it's really a true Abrahamic covenant. One is enclosed in Genesis 15 and the other in Genesis 17. Very close to the relating. There are two covenantal administrations to anger at distinctly different times. There's the Abrahamic covenant, Genesis 15 and 17, one for Earl, to Isaac and Jacob later on, same covenant. Then the Mosaic covenant, then the Davidic covenant, then the New covenant. Oh, I suppose there might be some supposition of some creation, but I think there are certainly six indisputable outstanding covenantal administrations on the part of God to man. You will notice that they are all within the post-Nazarian period, and they all contemplate some provision
direction of thought through shifting. The liability may all concentrate in one way or another the position of God's face. Again, the background. Now you see the post-Milludian Reach of Covenant is sometimes called the Covenant of Nature. But it does not have in itself any specifically redemptive provision. It's a covenant with all mankind, with the whole world, and called the covenant of nature. But it nevertheless is a covenant made with Noah in order to preserve and destruction. And it can never be conceived of properly outside of God's redemptive provision for the human race. It has very intimate relations with redemptive provision. Redemptive provision. Very intimate relations. Although it did not embody redemptive provision. Now, my topic is that the governing principle in all of these covenants, administration, is one, principium one. And of course, it is principium one. In the Abrahamic covenant that you have for the first time, in the Abrahamic covenant or covenants that you have for the first time, specifically redemptive provision as constituting the core of the covenantal provision, the covenantal administration. And therefore, from the time of Abram on, covenant disclosure is after the same fundamental pattern. The centrum of the covenant in all ages different forms of administration is, I will be your God and ye shall be my people. And that means union and communion with God. Covenant means that the way provided by God for the establishing and maintaining of that relationship, the is provided by God for the establishing and maintaining of that relationship is that of covenant. The covenant, revelation, and redemptive revelation. The successive covenant, by which God progressively revealed His saving purpose. What did I say? The progressive, covenant, at which God progressively revealed His saving purpose. Bring increasingly into force this central import and intent of His grace. Namely, that He will be able to say of man, I am your God, and ye are my people. And that covenant administration comes to its final covenant administration comes to its final validation and realization in the new covenant. Is the everlasting covenant, because it will never be superseded, by any other covenant administration on God's part. The continuity lives. People of God in the age to come will be in turn the new covenant. And in a nutshell, as is just said, that the process progressing covenant implosion which is its consummation in the new test of the new covenant, because Christ is the surety that He Himself is the embodiment of His grace. Now what I have in mind particularly in connection with the unity and the covenant made is the refutation of that viewpoint which has come to be known as modern dispensation. And my thesis here is directed very largely against that view. Because modern dispensation denies this very thesis that I am now very briefly speaking. According to modern dispensation, there is no unity of guiding purpose, no unity of guiding purpose, or guiding principle in the successive covenant. So I'm going to be in the Now, as you very well know, modern dispensation is important. Seven dispensations and eight covenants. Seven dispensations in the history of the world and eight covenants. As you know, a dispensation is defined as a period of time during which man is tested in respect of obedience to some specific revelation of the will of God. I repeat, a period of time during which man is tested in respect of obedience to some specific revelation of the will of God. That is a quotation from the Scriptures. But the dispensations and the covenants are very closely related, but yet in dispensationalism they must not be equated. The dispensation was a mode of testing covenant, condition, life and salvation. The Abrahamic covenant is everlasting because it was an unconditional covenant of promise. But the dispensation, the Abrahamic dispensation, ended with the giving of the law of Mount Sinai. Here's a good example of how covenant and dispensation are not to be equated. Abraham's dispensation ended with the giving of the law, but the covenant is now, it should be remembered, it should be borne in mind that criticism of modern dispensationalism does not rest upon the view that there are seven dispensations and eight covenants. Any truly biblical theology
say any true biblical theology. Recognizes that there are distinct covenants in the history of Revelation, and that there are also distinct dispensations. Any true biblical theology must divide the history of Revelation into its appropriate period. May be that certain dispensations are too many. It may be that eight covenants are too many in order to do justice to the history of Revelation. But that's a very minor consideration. We have to recognize distinct dispensations. We have to recognize distinct covenantal administration. It's not on that score that modern dispensationalism is to be criticized. It is to be criticized, I submit, rather, on the basis of what is much more fundamental. Namely, the construction which dispensationalism offers of the various dispensations and of the various covenants. That's the question. The construction given. And I think that it is in that construction of the history of Revelation the dispensation of the spirit, the construction of the history. And I think it's fundamental in the diversity. Of governing principles which it finds in various dispensations. The diversity of governing principles which it finds in the various dispensations. And in some instances, in the various covenants. And I think that is exemplified most patently and also seriously, in the construction of the Mosaic dispensation and construction of the Mosaic dispensation and God. And that's from that I'm going to concentrate, because it is construction of the Mosaic dispensation and covenant. That this diversity appears most patiently and, I think, most seriously for the construction of the history of Revelation. Now, this Mosaic dispensation extended dispensationalism claims from Sinai to Calvary. And in it,
Israel was tested in respect of obedience to the law. Tested in respect of obedience to the law. That is, legal obedience. This is quotation. Legal obedience as the condition of salvation. Legal obedience as the condition of salvation. End quote. Consequently, as a dispensation, it is one of work in contrast with grace. And law as a method of the divine dealing characterizes this whole dispensation. Law as a method of the divine dealing characterizes the whole dispensation. Now looking at it from the perspective of covenant, the Mosaic covenant, as all covenants, conditions life and salvation. Hence, the Mosaic covenant was a conditional covenant of works. Inevitable. These are the two principles that have enough conditions to make us salvation. And the day comes with a covenant of works. Therefore, it was a conditional covenant of works in absolute contrast with grace. The governing principle of the Mosaic economy, whether viewed as a dispensation or covenant, the governing principle was legal obedience as the condition of salvation. Therefore, as a dispensation, it was one in which benefits were earned in contrast with grace, which benefits are freely bestowed. Just one brief quotation from Charles E. Feinberg. Israel was governed by a principle. This is quotation. Israel was governed by a principle wholly foreign to that which is enforced in the church age. Israel was under the Mosaic system, a system founded upon the covenant of works, was dependent upon the energy of the flesh or its accomplishment. Charles A. Feinberg, from his book, Premillennialism or Amillennialism. If you want the page, it's page 190. So it is that we are going to controvert self-directed. I hope to, well, finish this.